Welcome to a Come Follow Me podcast, everybody. We are so excited to have you with us. This is a podcast for seminary teachers by seminary teachers as we discuss the Come Follow Me curriculum and what it might look like in our classrooms.
Oh, didn't know you were here.
I often get on Zoom and sing to myself the hymns of Zion. Hey, dude, what's up?
It's Thursday. It's Optimistic Thursday.
Oh, Thursdays are often optimistic. Weekend's around the corner. Starting to feel like fall around here. Is it feeling like fall where you are?
We had a rainstorm so violent last night. I like got out of bed and then didn't even know where to run. Like, I don't know what I was dreaming. I don't know what happened, but I mean, there was wind crashing against, you know, rain crashing against the windows, incredibly strong lightning, right? Apparently in my yard. And it just caught me off guard and woke me up, and I just knew I needed to run, and I like started getting out of bed and tripped over a bunch of pillows and was like, what is that? I don't even know what I'm frightened of. I don't even know what's happening.
Did the chicken survive? That's what I want to know.
Oh yeah, chickens are fine, and the compost pile is.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did your compost bins get blown over? Because you know you made those out of pallets. So
no, these, listen, I'm not making them like you make a mailbox.
No, this I didn't make the mailbox. I planted the mailbox. Okay,
I could. This thing could stand up to an 8.5 on the Richter scale. I guarantee you that right now.
Brian builds to last. He builds to last. All right, let's talk about next week. You know, as I was looking at it, this is a solid week. It's a good week coming up. You know, you've got a little. You got Isaiah 50 through 52, which has a very prolific verse that's quoted in the Book of Mormon about, you know, how blessed are those who publish the feet of those who publish peace, that idea. So they got a kind of a nice object lesson about ancient runners for war, which is looking cool. You've got Isaiah 53, the doctrinal mastery verse, which is all about the Savior's atonement. So there's some stuff there. You've got the old retired doctrinal mastery, scripture mastery verse from Isaiah 55, which is super relevant about God's ways being higher than our ways. And then you got general conference prep. So where do you want to begin?
I've been working on today is the doctrinal mastery for next week.
Let's talk.
I'm not even totally sure how to do this. Now, keep it in mind. So for your teachers, a lot to keep in mind, I've got, you know, I'm averaging 30 kids per class, 31, something like that. Right. And I wanted to do something where the kids all write down a trial or a hardship they've been through anonymously, you know, write that down. And then what I was going to do is I was going to, you know, they'd pass them all up and I'd read each one out loud and then say, raise your hand if you've experienced this or something really close to it. Just so the kids would be like, oh, I mean, I'm not the only one to experience this stuff. Right. And then talk about how, but no one's experienced exactly. But then I realized I don't want kids to raise their hand. Pornography? Yeah. I'm in the middle of that one now, you know? So I'm trying to figure out how to do that. They have some really good quotes in the curriculum, the doctrinal mastery curriculum from Elder Bednar and Sister Bingham, I think Sister Bingham. And you know, anyway, pretty good stuff. And of course you got the cross-reference Alma 7.
Yeah.
For the practice, I'm going to start with the practice idea of if someone were to come into your office, let's say you were a bishop or you're a Relief Society president, you're counseling with someone in your ward and they share a trial they're going through that you haven't really experienced. Should you say, gosh, I know exactly how you feel. I want the kids to kind of say, yes or no. Yeah. Cause it's nice to know people think, you know, feel what you feel or no, because you haven't. And I just want to talk through that idea of do people need access to people who've experienced what they've experienced? The answer is ultimately, yeah, that's really helpful. And that gets us to the Savior, you know, but
right.
So I'm not quite sure how to do all that yet, but anyway, that's what I'm working on.
There is a reason why there are support groups, right? You get a group of people who've all struggled with a similar thing, and that seems to be helpful. You know, maybe one way to bring that in, because I think this is a super helpful discipleship practice to learn how to, what to say when somebody, or not to say when somebody's really struggling with something. Maybe bringing in Mosiah 18 in here would be a good idea too, because you get the baptismal covenant to either, you know, we're to bear each other's burdens, but that can take a couple of forms. That could be to mourn with those who mourn. That could be to comfort those who stand in need of comfort. And that could be to stand as a witness. And I think all three of those could be different. And there may be times, like I realized once when I was thinking about things that other people have to struggle with, and I realized that anything I tried to do to put myself in their shoes was really a fantasy at best, like, because I'm not experiencing what they're experiencing. So I can only come up with a fantasy of what it must be like to struggle with that thing, but not a reality, because I haven't struggled with those things. And maybe when we find ourselves in that situation, the best thing to do is just to like suck it up with them, you know, like feel the full weight of the burden and just mourn with them. And hurt with them, you know?
Well, yeah, but then the point of the doctrinal mastery, right, is how do we help them come unto Christ and access his power? Because he does understand.
Yeah, totally. But that's where I think all three of those things in Mosiah 18 are separate things, and maybe separate things that come in their own time. But I think for somebody to feel like, because like, you know, when my mom died, for somebody to come up to me and say, well, you know, Jesus was resurrected, I'm sure that person thought in their mind, I'm trying to get him to Jesus as soon as possible. Sure. But like telling me something I already knew wasn't necessarily the helpful thing in that moment. Like that's fine. Yeah. But right now it's just sad. Let's just all be sad. We don't need to fix it right now. Like, let's just be sad together. That's an okay thing, you know? But yeah, ultimately, I love how, and I was looking at the seminary manual lesson for Isaiah 53 has its own lesson. And the idea of nobody knows how I feel, but Jesus does. And we've got some great scriptures there. I do think that's a good place to get on the no part. And then the practice part might just need to be a little bit different, you know, because, you know, we may not all be able to relate or whatever. So.
Well, no, and I'm not even sure the point is to relate, right? The point is, well, I've got to help them start to access, at some point, start to access the Savior, not me. Yeah. So, I mean, like when you go to the little practice one here, it says, you know, this kid comes in and says, whatever. Then he says, you don't really understand what I'm going through and how I feel. Nobody does.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, what have you know, what I want the kids to answer is, what have you learned about the Savior and his atoning sacrifice that might help your friend have a different perspective, even if his circumstances don't change immediately, and they're not going to, right? How could seeing them from this perspective be a blessing? What could he do to act in faith? Now, again, it's probably healthy to have a conversation on trauma response and those things. You know, if someone says, oh my gosh, I just found out my mom died. I'm not sure my first thing is going to be, well, how can you act in faith that, you know, but again, as far as trying to understand the purpose of this doctrinal mastery, I want the kids to be able to explain for when the time arrives, when the time does come, I want them to be able to use Isaiah 53 to help their friends access the power of the atonement and the Savior, not just other friends that get because my parents just passed away. You know what I mean?
Like, well, and I think an ancillary product of these practice exercises is to kind of know what to say. But I think the main point of the practice exercises is for the students themselves to practice how to think like a disciple.
Yeah.
And so, and that this scenario is maybe set up to be one of the more confusing ones, because it really does sound like, because we all do it. We all will find ourselves in a situation where somebody we know and love is struggling, and we're trying to think, how do I comfort? How do I whatever? But in this case, this scenario is not set up so that we can practice how to say, so that we all have our magic bullet of how to get somebody to Jesus when they're struggling with the thing.
Right.
It's more to go through the exercise of a mindset and you know, for yourself, you know, and maybe it'll ancillarily help you with somebody else, but it really is about, you know, when what are the assumptions that are being made when somebody says, nobody knows how I feel. I have to figure this out on myself. What are the conclusions that, what are the assumptions that lead to that conclusion? You know, and what, with an eternal perspective, can we understand using these particular sources? I think it's a super relevant practice exercise, really.
And you know, what's interesting is I find it much easier to do the other part, to say, gosh, I don't really know how you feel, but I'm here to sit with you and talk with you, and I can ask you questions. And as a bishop, I find myself thinking, well, I'm okay at that. I'm pretty good at that part. But after we visited once or twice, now what? You know, like a person comes in my office with some pain because of choices they have made or choices someone else has made. I actually feel pretty good about saying, well, tell me more about that. Tell me how you're feeling. And am I understanding this right? And gosh, that really must be hard. I don't understand what you're going through exactly, because I haven't been there, but you know, those sorts of conversations. And what I'm kind of appreciating here is thinking, okay, We've done the beginning part, which, by the way, I think is LDS Perspectives this last week. They have a great LDS podcast on.
Are they still doing the podcast?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of, no, maybe I'm thinking of, follow him. What's the leadership one? What's the leadership one?
Leadership one.
I can't even find my phone now.
This may be a podcast that I'm not.
No, you've heard of it. Hold on. Let me find it. It's right here. Podcast. They have a great one on like how to respond to traumatic situations. Oh, Leading Saints. Sorry, Leading Saints.
No, I've never heard of that one.
You've never heard of Leading Saints?
Mm-mm.
You have no right making a podcast episode for these teachers. Just kidding. No, it's really good. Anyway, we're making this longer than it needs to be. Yeah, there are the two parts. The how do I respond? How do I respond like a disciple when someone comes to me and says, I am really suffering? And what does this verse have to do with all of that? And I think some people may be a little better at the initial response. I'm here to sit with you. I can mourn with you. I don't have to totally understand what you're going through.
I'm not good mourn, at that, by the way.
And then what I want to work on as a bishop especially is, okay, step two is how do you come into Christ and access his power and strength so the healing can really start to begin? And I think that may be some of the thinking behind Isaiah 53 stuff, you know, like understanding the Savior does understand. Anyway, no, Leading Saints is a great podcast.
I better give it a shot.
That's not this last one. This last one just came out yesterday. So the one right before, it's really good. Okay, sorry.
So you got Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And that's probably within a bigger block. I'm surely it's a bigger block. But boy, that's super relevant, especially in light of what's coming with General Conference in the weekend and, you know, trying to understand. And then the idolatry conversations we've had this week. By the way, that Carrie Mulestein talk, did they bring that up in the Follow Him podcast? Is that how you were turned on to it?
No, I just, boy, he's the one who did it, but I don't think
he's the one. Who
I never even got to round two. I just was looking around for stuff.
Yeah. To fill everybody in, there's an excellent talk on modern idolatry from BYU 2015, Carrie Mulestein. And it's great. I mean, he really does identify, I think, a pretty common idolatry we all struggle with. The whole, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways, not your ways, saith the Lord. Like that idea that God's ways are higher than our ways, it continues to feed into that same theme, you know? And so I would spend the bulk of my day on those verses.
And just because I don't understand something doesn't mean the thing isn't true or the thing doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. So what do you do there's lots of traditions out there about getting ready for General Conference. Where have you landed lately?
Lately I've been talking a little bit about this idea that most of the iceberg is under the water. So like General Conference weekend is a great weekend, but that's the tip of the iceberg as far as squeezing all of the blessings out of General Conference that you can. So I really talk about taking notes and not quote unquote, how you should take notes. There's a billion different ways to take notes.
You're not going to teach me mind mapping this time?
Mind mapping. No, I absolutely might. just the idea that writing down, recording thoughts and impressions, Elder Scott kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Recording thoughts and impressions is a good way to take advantage of this conference weekend. The other thing that I've been talking a lot about over the last couple of years is if you're going to act in faith in conference, then you've got to go into general conference with the assumption that you're going to come out different. So I have the kids say, you know, write down in their notebook, I am going to, you know, I can't remember how I have it, but like, I'm going to be doing some things different by Monday morning. I don't know what they are yet.
So in their notebook, they're looking for things they're going to do different by Monday morning.
Yeah. And the point is, I'm assuming I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to set some goals. I'm going to set up some systems.
What are those changes?
Patterns. And I don't know yet because that's what conference is for, but I know there will be something. I'm not waiting to find out if I need to make a change. I know I do. I'm waiting to find out what it is or what they are.
Yeah. So
that's acting in faith, right? With real intent.
Yeah. In a similar idea, trying to help students gear up to take some notes and, you know, ask a question or be searching for something. Go into conference searching for something. And if you don't have a question or concern at the top of your brain, then this is as good as any. What do I need to stop doing that I've been doing? Or what do I need to start doing that I haven't been doing? You know, like what change do I need to make Monday morning? I like that. I think that's simple. That's an easy thing to do. Let me say this too. Elder Bednar said that the most important thing to write down is not what's being said, but what the Spirit's saying, because you're going to get the text of the talk. So you don't need to write down the thoughts.
You don't need to write down all the temples President Nelson announces.
Yeah, that's going to be
you're going to get print. That church news in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. So you don't need to like remember quotes or anything. Hopefully you'll study for the next 6 months, but you do want to record what meeting you're in with the Holy Ghost during that time. That's the valuable stuff.
The other thing I'll sometimes have kids do is I'll say, try to cut your life into 4 or 5 different sections. You've got your school life, your home life with your family, your friend life. If you're, you know, maybe your work life, if you have a part-time job and maybe you're on the baseball team or the softball team or whatever. And then just take that piece of paper into conference and watch for moments where you feel prompted in one of those sections, whatever it is. But if you can kind of compartmentalize your life a little, maybe you'll be like, oh man, that would help me and my parents. Oh gosh, that would help me with that situation at work. Oh, this would really help me with what I'm discouraged about with my golf on the golf team or whatever you're doing, you know.
That's interesting because you might even just use then the youth, the children youth program and compartmentalize physical, spiritual, intellectual, and social, you know.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think that's all really helpful to do. I used to spend a lot of time just introducing the brethren to them. Do you still do that?
Not really. I don't think it's a bad idea though. I especially the 12 and the,
just so they know, who's who and what's going on. Because the assumption is we think everybody knows, but when I was a kid, I barely knew who the.
Me too.
So that may not be a bad thing. All right. Well, I think we've taken enough of these good people's time. What do you think?
No, let's talk about composting and
chicken feed. Yeah, I think we've done. And Airbnb investing. All right. We will talk again next week.
Okay. Woo!